Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to our second great big hour of our Great Big Friday show. So happy to welcome Chris Stefanik this hour. You may know Chris from his many, many speaking engagements all around the world, from his book, Joy to the World. He was with the Archdiocese of Denver for a good while as the Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministries. Now he's got a website, Real Life Catholic, and a brand new project he's been working on, Rise, a 30-day challenge for men who desire greater peace, balance, and fulfillment in their lives. Chris Stefanik, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
And it seems like a lot of good people came out of that Denver Archdiocese from that time when you were there. Was that like a blessed moment or something? You get those, man. Every now and then.
The blessing started in 1993 when John Paul II came here.
Oh.
And it's really been an anointing on this place. I mean, the Catholic culture here is very healthy, very alive, very vibrant. A lot of apostolates have Denver as their launching pad. So it's a good place to be.
Yeah.
If you can't be in San Diego, this is the second best place to be.
I believe you. And I got to interview some young people, a thing that you have there, Christ in the City. You're familiar with Christ in the City?
I am, yeah. We did our TV show, Real Life Catholic. It's on Amazon Prime now, and it's on EWTN. But if you get Amazon, you just look that up. We did an episode on Christ in the City.
Oh, there.
Man, wonderful. Those guys blow me away.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just the real deal. This is how we need to live the gospel today, right? Yeah. They're just out in the streets serving the poorest of the poor and making friends with them and showing that they aren't just giving bread, but giving friendship. Yeah. Learning their names. It's a beautiful thing to be part of.
And then coming home and living in community with one another and being formed every day in their Catholic faith. It's amazing. And it's just, and you're right, it's exactly what the world needs now.
It is. The world's a bit messy.
Do you think? All right.
The church is a bit messy. Of course, it's been a bit messy for 2,000 years. I'm not going to lie about that one.
All right. Well, so tell us about Rise.
Yeah. You know, when you're in a fight for your life, right? And I think in a lot of ways with the church and the world at large, there's a battle raging right now. And when you're in a fight, you can feel your skin get a little cooler, right? If someone's starting something with you, or even emotionally sometimes. Someone cuts you off in traffic, get upset enough. Your skin gets cooler because the blood is kind of rushing to your core, to your muscles, to the things that keep you alive for the fight. You come back to basics, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as the world and the church, there's so many crises around us that we can get lost in staring at all day, which I don't recommend, frankly. It's time not to shrink back, not to despair, not to become disheartened. It is time to rise up. It's time to come back to basics, to relook at what does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? What is it that we're offering to the world? And, you know, I could talk for an hour about the cultural crisis surrounding men. But the most important thing is that men come back to basics and be who they are in Christ. And that's what Rise is about. It's a 30-day challenge. You sign up with friends, and you get an email in your inbox every day with a short video, short reflection, because it's designed for people with busy schedules like my own schedule. I thought, what would I be able to fit in? And it's not just theoretical. And it's beautiful to learn about the faith. But this is just, you know what? You know the stuff. Here's how you have to live this out. Here's what it looks like to be a man of God. Now start doing it. Stop thinking about it. Stop talking about it. You know, stop dreaming about the man that you might be someday and start being that man. And we give very down-to-earth practical challenges that, thanks be to God, are changing lives. I can't tell you the amount of stories, the amount of people I encounter who changing their lives, renewing their marriages, renewing their friendships with their dads. It's so beautiful, brother.
And so now tell me the website where people can go to make
menriseup.org. Menriseup.org.
Menriseup.org. And I wonder if you You say we need these practical things to get us each morning to take seriously the gospel, to take seriously what God has given us as our vocation as men in the world. I imagine you have thought a good deal about how we got to this point. It strikes me that we do live in our heads a bit in the world today, and we're stuck there. You know, give me a sense of how we got here.
Well, when it comes to just living inside your head, and this is the personal battle, let's start with that one first.
Okay.
I don't think that human beings developed to be all that happy. Think about this for a minute. Think of the caveman, natural selection. Think of the caveman who was agitated all the time, probably more likely to survive than the one who could sit down and smell the flowers really well. The one who was always looking for the next watering hole. The one who was, maybe a saber-toothed tiger tried to eat him one day, and the next day he couldn't stop thinking about it. He's not going to get me this time.
Right.
You know, fast forward 10,000 years, I think we often have that same mindset, that we're in survival mode. Someone cuts us off from the freeway, we can't stop thinking about it for the rest of the day.
Oh.
Someone lets us in, you don't go home and say, I can't stop thinking about that nice guy who let me in on the freeway. I think about it in my own life, man. I'm trying to be a good person and to be a loving father who's present, who's calm. But there are things in me as a man that are amped up for survival mode. But Jesus is calling me to something higher than that. And I have to be intentional about following him, dying to self, living out the Beatitudes, just to be a good guy, just to be the husband and father I want to be.
Yeah.
So on a personal level, I think we're kind of born a bit broken and needing to follow Jesus just in a purely natural plane. And a supernatural plane, obviously, need redemption.
Yeah. Christ himself seemed very comfortable with very ordinary men. He didn't seem to need the company of although at 12 years old, he's there with the scholars in the temple, having no problem with the scholars in the temple. And then he spends his adult life with a bunch of brutes, not really brutes, but, guys who work with their hands, guys who are tough.
And you could probably count on one hand the amount of times in the Gospels that the apostles got it right.
Yeah.
we've been kind of fumbling from the very start.
Yeah.
But our Lord saves us. And if we come back to basics and do our best to follow him and live out who he's made us in our daily lives, it doesn't only fix half the problems in society. We could talk about that too. It fixes us. It makes us happier people. And frankly, if we don't get clearer on that point, as a church, we're going to lose the game. We got to fix the problem in society. But I'll tell you, we have to be crystal clear that we are all offering people a better life in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He said, I told you these things so my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. But that's why we're bringing this stuff to the world.
Well, to give people
a better life in him.
Yeah, but I do think a lot of people, you hear this at parishes, and you probably have experienced it yourself having done church ministry. It's hard to get anybody to get involved in anything, even to come by and hear a talk or something, because people are spending their life in traffic. They're work, both parents are working a job to keep people, to keep the kids in food and all that. And so I do think people, what do you say to the person who says, Chris, I don't need another task in my life. I got enough tasks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this has always been a struggle. I've been in parish youth ministry. It's amazing how people say the youth minister should be drawing all these kids when their parents would never go to anything in addition to Mass.
Yeah.
So let's take the hardest to reach subset and expect them to come to other stuff too. It's really difficult. Well, that's why we have that's why you're doing Catholic Answers Live on radio and Skype. That's why I have a digital program. It's so people could do this stuff in their car, so people could change their lives without investing extra time, which they may not have. And so people in 5 minutes a day can live the rest of their lives more intentionally, more on point. You can't afford to not take those 5 minutes, though, right?
Yeah.
You got to set aside that sacred time to focus and to come back to why am I doing what I do every day in life?
Chris Stefanik.
But the struggle for time is real, boy.
Yeah, that's right. And you've built that into this.
I have.
888-318-7884 is our number. Chris Stefanik is our guest. We're talking about Catholic men in the modern world. More are needed, more to fully embrace the gospel. And more will find joy and peace and all kinds of the wonderful gifts of God if we will take seriously this call to the gospel. Again, 888-318-7884, the number. I want to let you know we've got pre-orders now for Made This Way, the new book from Leah Miller and Trent Horn. This is a book that is actually, if you're a dad, a perfect book for you. It's to help parents to talk with their children about 10 of the hardest issues in morality today, whether it's same-sex marriage or marriage in general, human sexuality, all these things. Leila Miller and Trent Horn have put together a book to help you actually have these conversations with your kids, not just learn about this stuff, but actually have these conversations. Go to shop.catholic.com and pre-order your book of Made This Way today.
Every question is important. Ask yours today on Catholic Answers Live.
Catherine Zeltner.
There are so many misconceptions when it comes to abortion and assisted suicide. It's really confusing, and I think for a lot of people, they don't know how to talk about these things. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, we help to change that. We help to really untangle these web of lies. Listeners can expect to become informed and then grow more confident so that they can then discuss and dialogue these issues, and together we can really impact culture in that way.
EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on EWTN Radio.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Our great Pope John Paul, Saint Pope John Paul, was famous for having told people on a regular basis, Jesus does not just reveal God to man, he reveals man to man. He shows us what it is to be a human being. He certainly shows a man what it is to be a man in the power of his self-restraint and self-giving and love for others. This manly vision, one time was they tried to incorporate this into the idea of chivalry. That's what a chivalrous man was supposed to be, a Christ-like man. What's happening to manhood now in the world we live in?
So much pain, my brother. I was reading some depressing statistics. Almost 40% of kids are born to unmarried women. 20% of men have admitted to cheating on their wives. 25% more women than men show up on Sunday for mass. It's incredible how men simply aren't showing up for work as men,
right,
as fathers, as husbands. And I was reading a more depressing statistics that children without dads are 4 times at greater risk of poverty, 7 times more likely to get pregnant outside of wedlock, more likely to be abused, have behavioral problems, 2 times greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to use drugs, go to prison, drop out of school. It's incredible that I would say a majority of the problems we're facing as a society are solved if men rise up and live out who they are in Christ.
Right.
This is from the prophet Malachi. I will send you Elijah the prophet before the day of the Lord comes to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with doom. I mean, this is what happens when men aren't men, is the land is stricken with doom. It's disastrous.
Right.
And more, this is amazing, it seems like the message men are getting from society is, we don't need you. We don't like your masculinity.
Right.
I had a friend selling another buddy on Rise, and he said, I was explaining it to him, how wonderful the program is, how it helps men live out who they are. It's all about masculinity in a good way. And it struck me, he had to clarify in a good way. Because the modern ear, when it hears masculinity, inserts the word toxic.
Yeah.
Toxic masculinity is almost presumed.
Yeah.
I love being a man. It's time to own that. I love who I am.
Yes, right, and God intended that. Not even intend for one of the sexes to be hobbled in some way. We're supposed to bring out the best in each other. But I want to. I do not want to. I know this is a very difficult topic, but men need to stop leaving their children. That includes divorcing their mothers even. And I know that there are situations in which people are not safe or are under great difficulty and separation is required. But in general, I do think we need to say more clearly as a church, stop leaving your children. That's what you're doing when you're walking out that door. They need you.
Yeah. And I think a lot of men have no idea how important they are. You know, but fixing all these problems in society, it comes back to fixing the problem in the human heart. You know, men don't experience their lives as men. Their lot in life is very often they don't experience it as being rewarding. They don't know how important they are, how much they matter. But that's also because they're not getting intentional about the basics. We go through life in survival mode. God's calling us to thrive. And to do that, that takes intentionality. And that's why we made men. MenRiseUp.org.
MenRiseUp.org is the address. Please visit MenRiseUp.org. Chris Stefanik is our guest. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. 888-318-7884. I'm going to go to calls, Chris, but I want to just tell you about something that I saw recently. I watched a documentary on a woman whose songs you may know. Her name was Amy Winehouse. She, an absolutely brilliant artist, died at 27 of alcoholism and bulimia. And she, in this documentary, talks about her life, and she was a happy little girl until 9 years old. And then it comes out in the course of the film that at 9 years old, her father left their home. And she struggled with difficulties, including drug addiction, alcoholism, and bulimia for the rest of her life until she died. And it's heartbreaking because you think the dad didn't get it. He didn't understand how important his presence in the home was to his own daughter.
No, we often don't. And not only the physical presence lacking, but the mental presence and focus lacking.
Yeah.
You know how much of a difference you can make if you go through the door and instead of obsessing about work, we can let decades of our lives go by this way.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy. This is what keeps me up at night. We're not living out life to the full, and Jesus shows us how. But we can waste our whole kid's childhood by not being present to them, by thinking our work's more important than the stuff that happens when we come in the door. You know, it's one of our challenges is to envision yourself wiping your problems off on your mat on your way into the house, literally mentally checking them and saying, I'm going to take a deep breath before I open that door because God has called me to be a blessing inside my house and to be a joy for my family. What does that look like for me? If we're not intentional about those little things, I'll tell you, man, we can miss out on life.
Yes, you can miss out on life, and that's exactly what Christ offers us, life and to the full. 888-318-7884, that number. I've made callers wait. Are you ready to go to callers, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Ben in Lubbock, Texas, listening on Our Lady of Victory Radio. Ben, you are on with Chris Stefanik. Your question, please. Oh, nope. Ben just dropped. That wasn't me. I know they're looking at me.
All right, Ben.
They're looking at me like I did it. It's 95% certain it's me whenever that happens, but I'm pretty sure that in this case it wasn't me. Let's go to Harold in Maryland. Ben, call back just in case that was me. Harold in Maryland, I'm sorry that I kept you waiting so long. Your question for Chris Stefanik.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
I just want to say that I'm really inspired by you, Chris.
Thanks, man.
I really enjoy watching your show, Real Life Catholic. The one on the One Life LA that really really inspired me.
Wait, yes. were you at One Life LA when Chris spoke there?
No, I was not.
Oh, because I was there and it was awesome. It was awesome.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I was on the verge of tears, to be honest, when I heard that. But I am physically disabled. I have muscular dystrophy and I'm on a ventilator and, you know, I'm 40, and you know, sometimes I went to the Lord's in 2000 with my family, and that really changed my life, and it gave me direction, and it helped me to understand redemptive suffering and how to offer myself.
Mm.
But anyway,
that's awesome.
You know, in the past few years, I just started, you know, something started happening where I started feeling kind of sad about, you know, my state of life and like my future and like, you know, like that I can't get married and stuff like that. I mean, I'm happy, but like sometimes it just occurs to me like, you know,
Yes.
I don't know how to explain that. But
yeah,
anyway,
my brother. Tell me your name one more time.
I'm sorry?
Tell me your name one more time.
Oh, Harold.
Harold. My brother, I love you. The Lord loves you. And I thanks so much for calling, man. I'm going to be praying for you. I want to ask you to please pray for me and offer up some of your suffering for me and for the whole RISE initiative for men to find renewal in Christ. And I beg you to never waste the suffering. You know, we unite our sufferings to the suffering of Jesus on the cross. And I know you're a master at this. If you've been to Lord's and you're living this out. And there's so much purpose in that. I mean, Jesus, he redeems everything. And in a mystical way, he even redeems the experience of the sadness we feel in our suffering. You know, when we want to say, Lord, where are you? Our Lord is next to us on the cross saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? So we'd have someone to say it with. When we're in Gethsemane and begging, Lord, let this cup pass me by. Even then, we're not alone. And in some mystical way, he saw that. He saw that on the cross. He saw that in Gethsemane. And I think he was comforted knowing you were there next to him. And that 2,000 years later, what he went through would comfort you. And I just, I want to beg you, brother, to stay in that mindset. Stay in that mindset through worship. Praise and worship really lifts up the mind and heart to God. And I think of St. Paul in chains. The things that he wrote about, rejoice in the Lord always, I say it again, rejoice. He said, have no anxiety at all. In everything with prayer and petition, let your requests be known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians. He wrote that when he was waiting to get his head chopped off in prison. I mean, it makes no sense. It makes no sense for him to smile at a time like that. It makes no sense for him to have hope. But he shows us that there's a serious head game going on when you're in prison, when you're in chains, when you're waiting to get your head cut off. I think there's a battle between heaven and hell, and the front line is between your ears, my brother. And you face that battle more intensely than most of us every day. And like Paul in prison, remember the suffering of Jesus, but I want you to remember something else. Remember the victory we have in him. You know, and that, if you remember that victory by praising, you'll see me do this often, especially if I'm having a hard day. I'll be walking around my house or walking through the halls of my work, just kind of singing under my breath songs of praise. Because this is the constant theme that Paul drew out when he was in prison. I think it's what kept him up, is that he kept praising God. And it's totally normal and totally fine to feel the sadness and pain, but you don't want to rest there. You keep lifting your heart and mind up, and that takes work. That's a battle. That's a battle.
Harold, how's that?
Yeah, I just, I guess my concern is that, thank you so much for those words. They're very encouraging. Thank you. You know, I try to persevere, but sometimes I get, like, I get tempted, like, in a way that's, like, it's really, like, very brutal temptation, mm-hmm. and it's, like, sometimes it's, like, hard to resist, and it's just, like, I don't have a lot of people around me that can really support me, and, like, they share my enthusiasm, and, you know, it's really difficult sometimes, and, you know, just how can I, you know,
So, Harold, number one, keep praising. I know it. I mean, dude, it's difficult and it's going to be difficult what you're going through. What Jesus did on the cross wasn't fun, right? And whatever cross we got to face in life, there's the joy of the Lord, but that doesn't diminish the fact that there's real pain. And that in the midst of the darkest moments and biggest crosses, that keeping our hearts and minds on things above, like St. Paul urged us to. He said, whatever's good, whatever's noble, whatever's beautiful, think of these things. That's the most difficult in the most difficult moments. I'm telling you, keep pushing on and praising. You know, if you find your mind sinking into a dark place, pick up your Bible, keep reading the Gospel of John until it lifts your mind up and brings you back to that place of peace again. Keep fighting that fight. Turn on Catholic Answers. Turn on EWTN. Watch Men Rise Up. You know, all these things can lift the heart and mind up. And as far as community goes, if you have good community at your local parish, or if there's any community you get with other guys there, I mean, go to your parish. Tell them. Tell your pastor, hey, can you help connect me with some people? And hopefully your parish is good enough where he'd say, yeah, I'll find you some folks to be your friend. And if not, you call your diocese, find a parish that's actually alive where people connect with each other, because our local churches should be giving us that.
Right. That's right. And there are many people there that want to. They need to know about the need. Harold, would you also, if you are using email, could you leave it with Maria? I just have some things I want to send to you. If you'll leave your email, I'll be able to get in touch with you and send you those. Harold, thank you very, very much for that powerful call. What a man,
too.
Huh? Okay.
Amen. Shoot me his email, too. I want to send him a book I wrote that's coming out in November about giving yourself the right name about who you are and your identity.
It's inspiring, though, to hear a brother. I mean, through all of his struggles, though, manliness doesn't look like this or like that.
Amen.
It has to do with what's in the heart and taking seriously that struggle to be holy.
Yes.
Our good friend Chris Stefanik is here, one of the great preachers and teachers of the gospel in the world today. We'll be back with more with Chris Stefanik on men rising up right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
With the recent commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the release of Humana Vitae, there have been fresh attacks on Catholic teaching from outside and, unfortunately, inside the Church. That's why Catholic Answers thought it critical to provide a vigorous affirmation of Paul VI's prophetic wisdom with our newest book, Inseparable, Five Perspectives on Sex, Life, and Love in Defense of Humana Vitae. We asked five distinguished contributors to reflect on and defend Humana Vitae from five perspectives, each of them compelling, together forming a mosaic of truth. Don't be caught uninformed when the topic of contraception comes up among friends, family, and coworkers. Order your copy of Inseparable today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or visiting the shop at Catholic.com.
Is the Church wrong on contraception? In a culture that worships the pursuit of sexual pleasure, the Catholic Church's teaching on contraception can seem archaic and unintelligible. Its critics say it's outdated, theologically unfounded, and even harmful. And even faithful Catholics can have difficulty explaining this moral teaching. Catholic Answers is out to change all of that. That's why we've just released Trent Horn's dynamic new DVD, The Case Against Contraception. Using scripture, papal and magisterial teachings, natural law, and new insights provided by social science and medicine, Trent puts forward a compelling case for Catholic teachings with his trademark charity and persuasive graciousness. Be prepared to give a defense. Order your copy of The Case Against Contraception today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and joining us is Chris Stefanik. Chris, among the many things he is, well, you can always find Chris at reallifecatholic.com, reallifecatholic.com. You get his books there and see where talks he's doing and all that. We're talking to him about RISE, a 30-day challenge for men who desire greater peace, balance, and fulfillment in their lives. Not just talking about it, but recommending it as well, and also taking questions on masculinity. I don't know, I suppose in a way we could call a crisis maybe of masculinity in our world and in our church.
Oh, it's crisis.
Is that a fair thing to say, a crisis?
I think that's a fair thing to say, yeah.
And we go now to Ben in Lubbock, Texas. I'm going to push the button really carefully because I don't know what happened last time, Ben. Ben's listening on Our Lady of Victory Radio. Are you there, Ben?
Yes, sir. Are you here? Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Yeah, sorry about that. If it was, in fact, my fault. Your question for Chris Stefanik.
Okay, and I think that I can tie this into your topic. So our Lord Jesus Christ chose a married man, St. Peter, to be the rock of our church. Why and when did the church begin to insist on celibate priests? And to tie this into the topic and some of the comments that you guys have made, in insisting on celibate priests, to a certain extent, isn't the church rejecting a key aspect of masculinity and the manner in which we were created? Also, given all the horrible and ongoing sexual scandals, shouldn't the church begin to reevaluate this insistence? Even if allowing married priests in the ministry reduce these scandals by the smallest percentage, wouldn't it be worth it?
Chris.
Yeah, Ben, great question, man. So the church has never taught that married men can't be ordained. In the Eastern rites of the church, like the Byzantine rite throughout the world and since the start, there have been married ordained priests mixed with the celibate priests. In the Roman rite today, we will ordain converts to Catholicism from the Anglican rite. So it's not the teaching that it's impossible. So we know that the Lord chose married men, and that is a possibility. Now, as a matter of discipline, church discipline, which is a changeable thing, but this isn't a light thing. That doesn't mean it's an unimportant thing. From the first centuries of Christianity in the Roman Rite, we've chosen to ordain from men who were called to celibacy. And the reasons for that, I think there throughout the history of the church have been a couple practical reasons for it. But I think the most inspiring reason I could think of is that our Lord himself, who is the high priest, was a celibate man. And what did that mean for him? It meant his bride was the church. He was married with his very self to the church. Now, before he comes again, I don't know how long we're going to be here before he comes again. Right? Let's say we're here for another 10,000 years. Is it feasible that the church would ever ordain married men again as a regular practice? Yes. Would that be an unorthodox thing to do? No, it's not a dogmatic thing. It's a discipline. Now, some people are saying in the light of this conflict, a crisis right now within the church, that that's the solution. You know what, brother? I just don't know that that's true. I think the biggest problem is a lack of integrity and need for personal conversion. Obviously, we've had men who are in the priesthood who are simply not accepting Jesus as lordship in their lives and aren't living that out. And if you have that with married men or with celibate men, and you put that guy in power behind the altar, it's going to be an absolute train wreck. So I think that's the heart of the problem. Is it worth discussing at this time in the church's history? Sure. I think everything could be on the table, but I really don't know that that's going to solve the problem. Is it a rejection of a part of our masculinity that we marry, that we ordain unmarried men? Celibacy has never been seen as a rejection of any part of our masculinity. See, the RISE program is based on the four fundamental identities of man, that we are all fathers, that we're all husbands, that we're all brothers, and that we're all sons. And that stuff applies to married as well as unmarried men. We have a ton of young men who aren't married yet going through it. We have dads who don't have kids yet or can't have kids, and we have older men. So how do those identities apply regardless of state and life? Because that's the way we love, whether we're married or not, whether we have kids or not. So fatherhood and being a spouse, that spousal love that's his vocation to the world, that can be lived out in various ways. And none of those ways is a rejection. Even a celibate is called to love with a spousal love, but in his own way.
Thanks, Ben, so much for that call. 888-318-7884 is our number. We're talking masculinity. We're talking the crisis in masculinity with Chris Stefanik. It seems to me that something changed with the sexual revolution, Chris, in that it used to be seen as very manly to be chaste and to have the strength to be a chaste man. And now it's considered manly to be basically like an animal.
We are so sexually depraved right now. It's insane. We see some of the things happening in the church, and we think this is a uniquely Catholic problem or a uniquely church problem. I think we're going through a scourge right now that, God willing, the scourge continues until we've rooted this darkness out. And I hope that the media keeps its lights shining on us until all the cockroaches have fled from the light. All right?
Yeah.
Because this scourge needs to, right? And it's a painful scourge, but I want it to keep going on. But I hope to God it doesn't stop here with the Catholic Church, but that we lead the way in building a more pure world, one where human dignity is respected, where our sexual drive is subject first to honoring one another, protecting children, protecting it, never abusing our power sexually. Because what you're seeing in the church right now, man, it is going on everywhere. I think it's one of the reasons it hits a raw nerve in so many people, not just the hypocrisy that people in leadership have done things like this, but the horror that this stuff's happening under our noses all the time.
Yeah,
the
it
stuff
is
you
a horror.
Saw the, right, the stuff you see in the news about Cardinal McCarrick, man, well, why did no one talk? Well, for crying out loud, well, why is no one talk in your own family about things that have happened?
Yeah.
Right? That's why it hits that nerve. It's like, oh, man, this is messed up, and we have to fix this problem. So I hope that our scourging shows the world how, and that we lead the world in this regard, because there's so much pain. There's so much pain around the sexual brokenness, sexual crisis.
Chris Stefanik is our guest. Our next call, Sarah in Denver, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Sarah, thank you so much for your call. Your question for Chris.
My question is, as a woman in this extreme feminist-driven society, how can we better help men fill their roles?
Sarah, that's a beautiful question, and I love you for asking it. Sarah, you know, be verbal and be overt about it. You know, I love how my wife builds me up. I mean, she tells me, like, my highest desire for you is that you be holy. When she sees me praying a rosary or something, she might come and give me a hug. Says, that's my man, right? There's ways that she's overtly building up that I'm a man. Now, there's a lot of ways that a woman can't give that to a man. I think I've heard a beautiful saying that women affirm your masculinity, but your brother men confer it upon you. Other men confer it upon you in a unique way, that men need those father figures and brothers in their lives. But what a great gift it is to have that confirmed and bolstered up in us by women who see holy manhood as an attractive and good thing. So thank you for seeing that. I mean, you're part of a new culture rising up. So thank you. And Sarah, are you also asking in regards to the single scene with guys simply not pursuing their vocation?
I feel bad for men almost in society right now, because women, the theme seems to be anti-man.
Oh, it is.
And, you know, I have younger brothers, and, like, how could I help them?
Right. Just, I tell you, be overt and verbal with them and with the world. You hear people putting men down, talking about toxic masculinity, telling them, hey, I disagree with you. I mean, we have to learn to be as verbal as the world is. The world is talking and blabbing all the time, right? We have the truth on our side. So we should open up our mouths, too, as frequently as possible. So thanks for being part of that revolution. I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
888-318-7884 is the number. If you prefer the spelled version, it's 888-31-TRUTH. Chris Stefanik is our guest. When we come back, we're going to take a little break in a second here, Chris. When we come back, I want to dig in again to Rise, the 30-day challenge. And I'd like to convince some men to take up this challenge. It's a worthy challenge. So we'll do that when we come back on the other side of the break. Right now, if your student is heading off to school, whether back to high school or college, you know that their faith is going to be challenged. We'd love them to have Catholic Answers Magazine in their hands to help. So right now, if you go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com, you enter the promo code MSchool. I don't know why we made it MSchool, maybe just to make it hard to remember. But in the promo code box, you put M School, and you get the special top secret price, the lowest price in years on Catholic Answers Magazine for students. We want every student to get a subscription. We keep the price top secret because we're not allowed to say $24.95 on the air, $24.95 for a full year subscription of Catholic Answers Magazine is just too good a deal. So they don't want me to say it. We'll be right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Your questions, Catholic Answers Live.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Chris Stefanik is our guest. We're talking about men, masculinity, and Jesus. Well, those things go together. And let me throw a phrase it for you here, Chris, and see what you think. The loss of Christ at the center of our society is a loss of proper masculinity, of healthy masculinity.
Amen to that.
Oh, all right.
Jesus is the golden bullet at the end of the day.
Yes.
There's a lot of ways that we follow him. If he's back on the throne of our hearts, it solves all the problems in our lives.
Right.
It doesn't make them all go away, but it's the ultimate solution. It doesn't even make death go away. We still got to die, but he wins. I mean, yeah. Right?
Right.
The final word is he is risen. Every problem we face, every dysfunction, every pain in our lives, death itself, he is risen is the final answer. And we gotta start living that out, though. We have to call people back to what that means to follow Jesus in daily life every day. We do that, the world changes. We change. We're happier.
Right. But now this Me Too movement that has happened, I have to admit to some several times in the course of this whole thing, actually being shocked at what some men are doing, at the behavior. Like, I don't think unless you're a woman who has had these experiences, you would guess that men are treating women as badly as they have been treating them. Like, it's really nasty, some of the things that have gone on.
Right, and abuse of power is absolutely everywhere. And when people talk about how, well, we just need to get rid of celibacy, as if that's, you know, you put people in power who are dysfunctional and aren't living out a relationship with Jesus and don't have integrity or accountability with other people.
Right.
Things like this happen. It happens in Hollywood. It happens in every corporation all around this country. It happens everywhere, you know, and it's horrific everywhere that it's happening. And if you've had sex abuse, I've had it strike very close to home in my own family. My wife went through some stuff as a kid, and I'll tell you, it's amazing. It takes a couple minutes to do a lifetime of damage.
Right.
So, you know, and if anyone's been through that who's listening, make sure you seek the help that you need. It's really scary to face problems sometimes and face those monsters inside that you feel like you don't have control over. Walk through that fear. Go to counseling. I'll tell you, I think of scar tissue as being kind of the strongest tissue. You feel it in your skin. It feels rougher.
You know,
that's true of your soul when your wounds heal. So God's calling you out the other side stronger.
Yep.
And men being who they are in Christ is part of that. One of my greatest honors as a man was to stand by my wife as she went through her healing and to really live out what it meant to be a man with a pure heart who didn't see her as an object and to be part of her healing. And that makes me the man.
Right. I imagine that if you're going to be out there, Chris, talking about taking up your manhood in Christ, being a man after the heart of God, so to speak, like King David was, you have to be bumping up against a lot of people saying, Chris, let me just take you to the side here. I got a pornography problem because it's just everywhere. This pornography is everywhere, and the internet is – I mean, for all that it's good, and it is, I don't want to just act like the internet is the devil or something, but this particular aspect of it is so insidious and dangerous.
Yeah, it is. And there's a lack of accountability that makes our problems become even more dysfunctional. I think we have the loneliest era of men in history. Men don't feel known. They don't feel like they can talk about the struggles they're having. they don't know other men on a personal level.
Yeah.
That's one of the things we're leveraging the RISE program to do, is to start authentic friendships between men, because that friendship changes lives. Where a lot of men are doing Men Rise Up together and walking through this together and learning how to talk to each other, learning what accountability means, learning how rewarding that is. It's not rocket science. It doesn't take much time. But we're teaching men how to have conversations with each other that are meaningful.
Yeah.
We're seeing in the comm boxes on menriseup.org. I'll tell you, man, most comm boxes are where people bring their worst self forward. But here we're seeing men pour their lives out to each other and support each other in prayer. This is why the internet was invented.
Yeah.
This is real human connection. And the more we have that and we learn how to do friendship and accountability, the more we're going to shed these dysfunctions, where if a man has a compulsive behavior with porn, he has brothers he could turn to and talk about it.
Yeah,
and say, I want you to hold me accountable. You know, a lot of sins only fester in dark corners.
Amen. Right. Exactly. A whole bunch of calls. So as much as I enjoy talking with you, I'm going to let the callers have a chance. Anonymous in Dallas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. You are up next. Your question for Chris Stefanik.
Yes, I just wanted to know how to deal with the teenage brother who wears, like, excessive makeup.
Okay. I don't know if you could hear that, Chris. How do you deal with a teenage brother who is wearing lots of makeup?
Okay, so he's wearing lots of makeup, so he's got – I don't know what that might mean for him. Is he kind of goth, dark, or is he going toward like gender confusion?
No, it's not really goth. It's not goth.
Like he's presenting himself in a feminine way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, gender dysphoria is real. It's painful. And, you know, when people have this fundamental discomfort with their gender, with who they are. And this is, you know, if we were broadcasting in California, it might be illegal to say this, right? But
everything's illegal here, Chris.
Everything, right.
Except marijuana.
Oh, Lord have mercy on us.
Well, you really started it, you Colorado people. Thanks.
I know. Oh, God save us. There's another issue for another show. There's a lot of pain that people feel when they have discomfort with their gender. Profound pain. The world would say to your poor brother that the solution is to make permanent life decisions based on his temporary gender confusion. Statistics show that the vast majority of teenagers and children who have gender dysphoria, it passes. Let it pass. And for those who don't let it pass, but they're seized upon by people pushing an agenda that has nothing to do with their happiness, but more with their agenda, and say, you know, you have this confusion, let's make a permanent life decision. Come out. Tell people that you're a different gender. Let's start life-changing hormone therapy. People who start down that path, they get locked into it. It doesn't pass. And if you just Google to find this out, the number of them that end up killing themselves is disastrously high. It is proven to not be the path to happiness, to give in to gender dysphoria and go there and say, I'm going to own it by, you know, just this is not my gender. So I'd encourage you as a sister, if there's a good Catholic counselor you can go and talk to, I'll tell you, a good Catholic counselor is not going to berate him, shame him, delegitimize the things he's feeling. This is what the world would tell him. You're gonna just beat it out of him. No, that's not what's happening. But a good Catholic counselor, what might help him walk through this in a way that it doesn't become a permanent, life-changing or possibly damaging decision. And just keep loving your brother above all else, no matter what happens. You know, just keep loving him. And being his friend, being his sister, I think sometimes people get caught up in talking about nothing but the issue that's staring you in the face. What's staring you in the face, first and foremost, is a human being who Jesus Christ loves and died for. And let him see that you see that when you look at him, because I think he might be looking in the mirror and only seeing this one issue, this one confusion, this one pain.
Anonymous, how's that for you?
Yeah, thanks. But I also, like, he comes to me. And it's weird that I don't even like makeup. Like, I don't wear makeup. But he comes to me talking about what he, like, the makeup products. And I don't know how to approach it because it's something that I don't like, but I don't want to feel like him to feel like I don't care about what.
Sure. Well, you might also be feeling kind of weirded out by that, not knowing how to respond. Look, you just got to be yourself. I don't know what's happened. There's a cultural phenomena where we're telling everyone to be themselves except for you. You know, if it makes you feel uncomfortable and you love your brother and have a good relationship with him, just tell him. You know, hey, I don't really feel comfortable talking to you about makeup. Why are you asking me for makeup? What's going on? You can start a conversation. I think sometimes we think by not talking about, if we talk about it, it becomes real. Right?
Yeah.
I think that's the tragedy that happens with half I think of McCarrick getting away with things he did in seminaries for years, because if a seminarian jumps up and says, hey, what the heck are you doing? Then it really happened. No, dude, it really happened either way. You know, let's start talking about things. It gets very unhealthy when we let the elephant sit in the room. And so if you feel uncomfortable, just talk about it, but lovingly.
Anonymous, we'll leave it there because there are other callers I want to get to, and I hope that was helpful to you. Let's go to Joe in New Mexico watching on YouTube. Joe, we're coming near the end of the show, so real quick, your question for Chris Stefanik.
Well, the question will be this, but real quick for that young lady, just Anonymous, why don't you pray to St. Joseph for intercession?
That has never hurt anybody.
Never hurt, man.
Never, yeah. On one occasion. Okay, so your question for Chris?
A question for Chris is, in my journey as a convert, basically manhood, I see the folding of the arms in the pews, and well, I went under men are under construction, so that's a building up of men, and I've seen it for a few years now, almost 8 years. So my question is this: after the hunt, after the high of the mountain, what can we do to keep ourselves in brothers in arms? Because I've been doing this almost 12 years now. I see the peak, and then all of a sudden it drops, and then there's still no connection. Mm-hmm. We all drift our own ways, and I like to see a format.
Yeah.
What kind of format could you see that would make us stronger edging one another instead of just leave the conference?
That was a nice slow pitch for me to bat that ball and say, menriseup.org. Really, that is why we made this. It's to give people – I mean, I want every men's conference around the country to say, let's not have this be a flash in the pan. Go home, do this for 30 days, walk through it with your brothers. And you're going to hear in that program practical tips for building ongoing friendships that last the rest of your life, to where you intentionally meet with other men after the program. And this is something I do as a spiritual discipline myself, just to check in, ask how you're doing, pray for one another, and we talk about how to do that, build it up in Men Rise Up. So – thanks for the slow pitch, man. I don't know if that was intended.
slow pitch meaning that the very reason we're here is to talk about the 30-day challenge rise. Okay, so let me ask you this then, Chris, since you got that slow pitch. A man goes to the website. What is going to happen? What's he going to see? What's he going to get? All that
practical stuff. Yeah, it's an easy sign-up.
Okay.
Easy sign-up and practical. It just rolls out to you every day. And we don't have people just sign up at random times. There's a challenge starting in September. They start various times of the year so that when you're going through the challenge, you're in spiritual solidarity with your other brothers. We're aiming for 100,000 men to go through this in September together. When men reclaim their identity in Christ, and that's why I'm asking everybody who's listening right now or watching, make sure you spread the word for us. Because when men own who they are in Christ, get intentional about living out who they are in Christ, their lives change and the world changes. And if we want to see a world change, become an army that pushes this and makes it happen. You're going to see a difference in people's lives who go through this.
So what day in September will it start? Or is it a particular day?
There is, and it's on the website,
right.
riseup.org.
I'm
looking. I should probably know that off the top of my head, but I don't.
I'm on the website right now. I'm looking for it. Okay, so it's menriseup.org, menriseup.org. It's not, yeah. I think we have established, it's not going to eat up all your free time. That's not what it's meant to do. It's meant to inspire you each day for 30 days to appropriate, to make your own the gospel of Jesus Christ, to live in it and to be blessed by it. Am I correct in all of that, Chris Stefanik?
Amen to all of that, my brother.
All right, do it then. Go to menriseup.org. There's a reason why you listen to this show today. It's probably that. Menriseup.org. Starting next month, you're going to want to be there. Chris Stefanik, God bless you and all you do. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me on. What a gift.
Well, that'll do it for us. For the work week, anyways, Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.